Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Deep dive, Shasky. Tell me about your deep dive.
I'm just trying to find what's going on. And like, you look at the raw numbers for this team, and there's so many raw numbers that look so good. But then when you dive a little deeper, to me, it comes down to situational football. And obviously special teams has played a huge factor in swinging big momentum in these games. And you're not going to see a lot of that in a box score. You're not going to see that in overall team defense or overall team offense. And I look at this number and you tell me what you make of this. Last year, okay, in the fourth quarter, the Niners gave up 3.7 points per game. This year, they're giving up almost 9. And I don't think that's all on the defense. I think it's short fields. I think it's unfortunate special teams blunders. I think it's the offense stalling out and then the defense having to go back on out there after a long drive. And like, this reminds me a lot of what you saw during kind of like that Singletary era, where when you don't play complementary football in all three phases, things bite you in the butt and you look up and you're like, you're looking to who to blame. And is it the quarterback? And is it the DC? Is it? No, the team is not playing a complimentary brand of football. And it feels like they can't get off the field in certain situations. Simultaneously, they're not punching in touchdowns. So you don't have that extra cushion and that extra margin of error. And I just the common theme in all of these losses is like, the other team in the fourth quarter finishes strong and the Niners finish meagly.
I'm looking at the schedule, just looking at it, and there's no doubt the eye test will tell you in the fourth quarter they have to shut things down. I do think the number is a little inflated when I think about some of these games, like the Cowboys scored a couple touchdowns late in the fourth quarter to make it a game. Jets scored late. Seattle scored late on Thursday Night Football. But to your point about the fourth quarter and not finishing, yes, it is both offensive, defense, and special teams. It's been a collective group effort on how not to finish football games. Whether it's the punt return team fumbling the punt return or not containing on the punt team, like you saw in Week 3 against the LA Rams. Maybe it's the Arizona Cardinals where you have a Jordan Mason fumble when you're trying to ice the game. We know all the games. We could play through our heads here about how they're not finishing in the fourth quarter, but that, I think that's a microcosm. See, the problem is, I think it's sports. It happened the other day with the Warriors and the Clippers. We're all going to look at the end of the game and say, boy, they didn't make a shot. GP2 missed a shot at the end of the game. But you brought up situational football. I'll bring up situational basketball. The end of the first half, you give up a layup to Norman Powell. End of the third quarter, it's tied up. You hold the Clippers at 16 points. And Amir Coffey's off balance, and you foul him at the three-point line, and he makes 3 free throws to get the Clippers a 3-point lead going into the fourth quarter. Now, you lose by 3. Those are 5 points right there. Could be the difference in the basketball game. Same thing in football, where you're thinking to yourself, boy, you're not putting these teams away in the first half when you have the opportunity. You're not taking advantage of goal line situations like the Vikings where you have a 4th and goal and you don't convert, and you know Sam Darnold goes over the top to Justin Jefferson for 99 yards. the L.A. Rams. You don't put them away in the third quarter. You're up 21-7, but you're letting the game kind of play around and just hang there in the balance. And Jake Moody misses a field goal, and that's when you know you got a different ball game. Situational football all throughout the game that leads up to the fourth quarter where you don't have the margin for error, where you're like, oh, boy, they're one play away from making something happen. They're one play away from making something happen. That's what happened with Seattle. That's what happened with the Cardinals. That's what happened with the Rams. That's what's happening with the Vikings. You're not finishing in the red zone, and you're not doing it in the first three quarters of the football game to where you got to now rely on the fourth quarter where you don't have the same personnel you had in years past. So it's maybe just one of those years. Maybe it's just one of those years when you have a lot of moving parts coming in and out of the lineup, defensively and offensively, with all the injuries or whatnot. I think it's just you're 5-5, and it kind of screams why you're 5-5. Just look at the games.
Yeah, it's just I think we were, you know, conditioned from last year because they were such a juggernaut that when they get up on a team, they're just going to run them out of the building, and then they're going to suffocate them in the fourth quarter. And, like, you referenced some of the late touchdowns against, like, the Jets, for example. I mean, they scored with 25 seconds left on the clock. That game was a blowout. Like, whatever.
The Cowboys were down 30-10.
Yes, but in last year, they beat them, you know, 40-something to 10, whereas this year, Dak has the ball back with a chance to take the lead at the end of the game. And I think that's kind of the difference between this year and last year is it's not necessarily that you allow teams back in. It's like, oh, my God, they've got a chance to not only tie the game but win the game in the final possession. And, yeah, I do think as much as I'm focused on the defense, and I have been focused, like, the offense has not been able to punch it in, and I think that their red zone woes from early in game really catches up to them late in games, and you look back and you go, God, we should have cashed one in. And when you don't, I feel like that boulder on your shoulder gets heavier and heavier. And I mean, they're 29th right now in EPA plays yards allowed in the fourth quarter. 29th. It's
what's EPA get for the people who
expected
don't know?
Play allowed. And it's just it's not a good number. I mean, in the first quarter they're 4th, second quarter they're 7th, third quarter they're 12th. In the fourth quarter, 29th as a defense. Last year, they were top 10 in all of them.
Yeah, but you know what? Last year was different.
No doubt.
We have to start comparing last year to this year because you didn't have Christian McCaffrey for the last two games. Defensively, you're even different. You don't have Drake Greenlaw. And Hufanga played most of the season. You know, he didn't tear his ACL until the middle of November. So you don't have Drake Greenlaw this year. You had him all last season playing at an all-pro level. Javon Hargrave, whether or not we liked him, he was in that lineup. Now, Eric Armstead battled injuries, but you still had him on the roster. You did bring in Chase Young and Randy Gregory. You know what? I don't know what's been worse, Chase Young, Randy Gregory, or Leonard Floyd. I have no idea. So that position's a wash. But Bosa was better last season, I believe. Even though he held out last year, I still felt like he had bigger impact last year than this year. So, and then you look offensively, obviously, yeah, Brandon Ayuk, who's having a career season. Deebo Samuel's going for over 1,000. Even though he had the three-game exodus where he got hurt in Cleveland, Deebo Samuel. You know, George Kittle had over 1,000 yards. This team was just completely different last season. They were completely different. And they were more explosive. You don't have that this year. So when you think about their offense, what did he play, three games?
Yeah.
Four games? Five games? Got hurt in Kansas City. McCaffrey's played in two games. Kittle's missed action. Debo's missed action. It's just not the same team. And I think that's what we have to come to grips with. Even though our expectations were high, the team's just completely different. The omens were there, but the team is different. With all the injuries, it's just a different roster, man, and we should have probably saw this coming. We underestimated Drake Greenlaw's absence. We underestimated Chris McCaffrey's absence. Jordan Mason is not Christian McCaffrey. It's just not.
Well, Jordan Mason is not Christian McCaffrey, but he was a top five rusher and on pace for a top five rushing season. Now, again, it was.
But didn't have the impact that CMC had. He didn't have the impact.
Well, that's in the passing game and in the red zone. Yeah, there's no doubt he wasn't punching it in. I mean, McCaffrey was good for a touchdown a game. But it's not like he wasn't really good, right?
No,
like
I didn't say that he wasn't good. He's just not Christian McCaffrey.
For sure.
Mason was good. Christian McCaffrey was all world last season.
There's no doubt.
All world.
But, like, the Niners aren't the only team in the league that battles injuries. You know, I mean, Kansas City lost their top wideout, and they're still plugging along in terms of their offense. And though not historic or whatever, like, they're finding ways to win games. I just think the overall arch of this team is, for whatever reason, in the second half, all of these mistakes and everything just keep coming back, and these blown leads have now become a thing. And I don't know if it's in their heads per se. I don't think guys are thinking about that when they're playing. That I dismiss that, but there's something there, and I think they're going to look up at the end of the year, and they're either going to be a game short of clinching the division, or they're going to face an opponent they don't want to be facing because of their record if they find a way to win the division. And I think we're going to be looking back at all of these different opportunities and moments throughout the year with regret.
888-957-9570 is a number. Is this the game of the year for the 49ers? Is this where your season falls apart if you lose? Is this a must-win game? Are they all must-win games? 888-957-9570. What was alarming yesterday is when we had Baldy on, and he was discussing Christian McCaffrey. And he was talking about Christian McCaffrey, and, you know, Greg Cosell was on last week with Willard and Dibbs, and he was talking about, you know, Christian McCaffrey looked like Christian McCaffrey to me. And I was thinking to myself, I'm no expert. I'm not in the film room like Greg Cosell, but they look like Christian McCaffrey to me. They look like he had that same burst. Well, we asked our NFL expert, Brian Baldinger, how does Christian McCaffrey look? Here's what he had to say.
He doesn't look special. He just doesn't. And so Mason, he hit that first run of his 8 yards up the middle.
Yeah.
Like, he hit that whole like we've been watching him hit it all year.
Right.
You know, where he was second in the league in rushing a couple weeks ago. Like, he hit the hole the way he's supposed to hit the hole. And so I think, who knows what's being said. Obviously, they're not sustaining offense where you could get the number of carries that you want. Although they had 27 carries. You know, some of them obviously are scrambles by Brock. But the way Jordan hit that first run, I'm like, that's what they need. They just need somebody just to, like, just be a bullet right through those between the line. And then he always, you know, he's taking the pile with him. So I don't know. Like, I think Kyle probably thinks that when we get to the postseason, if we get to the postseason, we're going to need McCaffrey at his best. Let's play him into shape. And I think that might be part of it. But that was not an impressive run game by the 49ers on Sunday.
And it hasn't been impressive the last 2 weeks with Christian McCaffrey. And that's a huge difference in this offense. He was all world last year. He was special getting to the second level, making people miss, breaking long runs in the pass game. Even in the pass game when he's running routes, he's not fooling anybody. His route running's been a bit sloppy because I don't think he can cut as well as he can with the bilateral Achilles tendonitis. I mean, what did we expect? He's just not the same player.
Yeah, it sucks. I don't know what else to say. Like, you don't see that same explosion and that cutback. And it's funny, like, all the various film watchers are going to have differing opinions. But his point about Jordan Mason, when Jordan Mason came in and he had a little burst, I think a lot of people felt that way. And not that we want Jordan Mason to take CMC's, you know, spot in the pecking order. We're just saying, like, you know, mix it up a little. And I don't think that's the end-all be-all to the cure of what their offense is. I think their offense, they've got some issues that are a little deeper than that. Personnel-wise, like, without George Kittle, I just think that they're just... Sobert is not a threat in any way on either side. And, you know, obviously Pearsall as a rookie is going to have some ups and downs. You know, he's not Brandon Ayuk. He's just not. Brandon Ayuk's a very good player and they miss him a lot for, you know, what he does to coverage, you know, getting open, being a trusted agent of Brock Purdy's. Like, I think there's a lot that we can't see on our television screens that is being played out. And it's reason why. And I also like the offensive line. They've got a couple weak spots. Like, that's a spot, like, McKivitz has not been good, and Jake Brendel hasn't been great. Pooney's been awesome. I think Banks has had kind of a down year from what my expectations were from him. So I think all of these things, as well as, I don't know if Brock's seeing it as well as he did last year at this time, which I think is a fair thing to say. We all like Brock, but, you know, I was watching some videos yesterday of the arm and people saying he got hit versus Arizona. Maybe the shoulder's a little stiff, and I can't speak to that, but... He does look a little hesitant at times.
Yeah, I saw a lot yesterday on the internet. Somebody sent this to me. I think I sent it to the thread I just texted. But a lot of people are saying the shoulder injury, because he is day-to-day with the shoulder injury. Kyle Shanahan announced that Monday during his conference call. Day-to-day with a shoulder. And a lot of people saying his arm didn't look that strong. Didn't look like he had that much zip. And when you're going to get to Green Bay, this gets a little colder. You get to Buffalo, the wind blows over there, Orchard Park, formerly Rich Stadium. I think it's called, New Era Field, maybe? I don't remember, but it's formerly known as Rich Stadium. Anyway, you're gonna need a strong arm to throw those elements, especially in Buffalo.
Highmark Stadium.
Highmark Stadium. Yeah, that's what it's called. What's now. Highmark Stadium. Huh. It's something to monitor here. Is Purdy fatigued? Arm fatigue? Shoulder fatigue? Did he get hit? I don't know what's going on here. But I do want to talk to Niner fans about this. One, Green Bay, must win, obviously. I think it's a must win. I think we can answer that ourselves. But if you want Shanahan to evolve, if you still want him as the head coach, that's another conversation. But if you want him to evolve, what is it that he needs to evolve in? Is it play calling? Is it decision making? Is it formations? Is it motions? Is it personnel? Is it his passing game? Where would you like to see Shanahan evolve? Because trying to tweak the offense midway through the year, probably not going to happen. This is going to be an offseason conversation for Kyle Shanahan because the passing game does look outdated. When you don't throw outside the numbers and you don't throw it down the football field in today's game, you're going to have a hard time when you get a high level.
You know, it's crazy. It's like some of the rhetoric regarding Kyle Shanahan, he stinks. It's like, no, he doesn't stink, but like the offense still is prolific in terms of like accumulating yardage. I know that the explosives aren't there like they used
they're
to be, but they're still marching down the field. And I think the hard part for me is that they've had specific situational penalties. Cause you look up, they're not the most penalized team in the league. In fact, they're kind of like, you know, they've been actually buttoned up in that. To me, it's like you're 3rd-and-1 the other day, 3rd-and-1. And then you go to 3rd-and-11, right? Because of a hold on the outside. You get a good Deebo Samuel run and Juwan Jennings gets caught for a hold on the edge, right? And it's a stinger. And so I just.
You know what, though?
I think plays are there to be had, I guess.
Plays are there to be had, but could you say that every team kind of gets yards? Like every team feels like kind of gets yards. And I mentioned this yesterday that the Niners were in the top 5 in terms of passing yards and total yards and all this stuff. And they're getting prolific yards. But you can't really be prolific if you don't score points. You know, when I think prolific, I think last year's offense. I think greatest show on turf. I think the 2007 Patriots. I think the Falcons that Shanahan coaches an offense. When they invest this, when I think prolific, I think, whoa. Down the field passing, deep shots, one-play drives, two-play drives, 70 yards, big explosive plays. When I look at this offense, I don't see prolific. I see another P word. It's predictable. That's what I see with this offense because of the personnel that has been in and out of the lineup. So yes, they're moving the football. Yeah, absolutely. They're moving the football for sure. But when you don't convert to red zone, because it's so easy in today's NFL, I'm not going to say it's so easy, but it's advantageous for the offense to move the football and get a couple first downs. Think about it. You get the ball at the 30-yard line, you get a couple first downs, you're already crossing midfield. So in today's game, you get to the 35-yard line, you're in field goal range for the most part. Now, whether or not these kickers are hitting it is one thing, but I look at the red zone area as the biggest issue.
Well, and it feels like they're not scoring outside the red zone on the deep balls. Like the Pearsall play a couple weeks ago was one of the first big explosion 40-plus yard plays.
That's prolific,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You haven't seen enough of that.
No.
You haven't seen enough of that at all. So we'll talk more Niners here. Juan Soto's going to visit the Dodgers.